Welcome to the Global Leader Podcast, where we discuss all things related to leadership with leaders from around the world. My name is Laura Boyko, and as an experienced leader and coach, I dig deep into leadership issues that our expert consultants from academia, research, and a variety of industries have encountered. I'm a leadership and team development consultant with Global Leadership Initiatives, and I've held leadership positions over the last 15 years in healthcare and education, leading, developing, and transforming over a dozen teams. I love digging deep into how teams work and also how we as leaders can create engaging and supportive work environments. GLI is a Canadian leadership development organization with over 36 world-class expert consultants in leadership, sustainability, management, and team development from countries around the world like Canada, the US, South Africa, Russia, and China. GLI exists to develop excellence in leadership globally, and we do this through the 4I process of inquiry, intervention, impact, and iteration. This 4I approach to leadership development is achieved through the books we write, the courses we develop, the workshops, podcasts, and webinars we deliver. GLI leverages the best of leadership development theory and practice by bringing together a talented pool of highly experienced leadership development experts, researchers, and coaches that will help individuals develop and positively impact organizational processes. For more great content, navigate to our membership website at glimembers.com. I hope you enjoy the following conversation and take away something to enhance your leadership. Welcome to today's GLI podcast. This time, my guest is Dr. Tinica Wolofers. Dr. Tinica is joining us this morning from South Africa. Welcome, Tinica.
Thank you, Laura. So happy to be here with you.
And we're happy to have you. For our listeners this morning, which is this morning here in Canada, and Tinica is located in South Africa, I'm just going to give a little bit of an introduction on Tinica. We like to keep it fairly casual, right? Even though Tinica is well-educated, but she comes to us with a wealth of information, and she tends to divide her time between her practitioner work and her academic work. Currently, she's the director of the Moya Institute of Authentic Leadership Effectiveness. Tinica facilitates individual and team authentic leadership effectiveness and executive coaching journeys, mainly at senior and executive organizational levels. She also trains leaders how to use coaching in their interactions with others, and she works with leaders in South Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and the United States. She is an academic, and she's affiliated with various business schools in South Africa, where she lectures, supervises, and examines at postgraduate levels. She has obtained her PhD in personal and professional leadership at the University of Johannesburg in South Africa in 2014. And in 2009, she completed her master's in professional coaching through Middlesex University in the UK. She is the author of the book entitled Authentic Leadership Effectiveness for Individuals and Teams, A Coaching Approach, which was published in 2017. We're so excited to have you here today with us, Tinica.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Same from my side.
Mm-hmm. So can you just tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to be doing this kind of work?
Laura, this is interesting. I was actually in IT before. I was one of those nerds. You know, I used to develop 6-7-dimensional business intelligence models and dive into them. And as a single mom, that didn't work very well because my child ended up being kind of like an orphan. And I decided that I needed to find another career that will allow me to do what I love in my career, but also be mom. So after a really big journey of soul searching, I came across coaching, where we can actually empower others to be their best selves through the skills that we develop as a coach. And that led from one thing to the next. I kept on wondering, what is it that I do not yet know that I do not yet know? And I went back to university and I started doing a master's in professional coaching, as you've just said. And then that led to a PhD as well in leadership development. So the one thing led to the next. So now for me, my work, it's, yes, we've got to pay our bills. But for me, my work is more a vocation and a passion. And I think that's very important, you know, especially at this stage of our lives, to actually have really meaningful work, as you and I've been discussing as well before we started the recording today.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up being where I am now. And I just love my work.
I think everybody seems to have sort of my life before I was doing X. It yes. seems like yes. everybody who's done anything, certainly that I've talked to you through our GLI podcast, seems to have, you know, I was in this kind of a career before, and people are finding their way into these really unique and interesting places for meaningful work, as you mentioned. So yes. you've talked a little bit about how you found coaching, and we talked a lot about coaching and coaching as leader, leader as coach. And we're starting to hear more and more about how leaders can use coaching in their work. So I'm just wondering, what kind of situations nowadays do you think we need to be having coaching conversations in? What makes coaching conversations so powerful from other types of conversations?
Okay, so if we take a step back, in the past, the leader was expected to be the expert. And the leader was the expert, and the leader was command and control in charge, and the leader knew all the answers, and the others just, the leader had the head and the rest had the hands. And I think people have realized there's something to be said for collective leadership, which means that a leader's main task and purpose now, as one of my leaders in Europe said to me, I mean, he was in charge of operations of one of the biggest oil companies, and his purpose, he said to me, was to deliver what the company required. And after the coaching, he realized actually what he needs is to develop the next level of leaders all around him. That became his main task, because then you can actually exponentially deliver. So he, instead of him telling them what to do, he started encouraging them to actually think, be think tanks with him. And it's such an exponential benefit. And it's a win-win for everyone. It was for him because he had such a great, great team. It was for each of those leaders and also for the company, because the company started performing so much better. And he was promoted after that to international, being in charge of operations of this oil company. And that's what it's really all about. And now we're talking about leaders coach. He realized that he needed to have a different approach. Instead of storming into meetings and people are all scared and he tells everyone what to do and they know they better do it, otherwise they out. He found a totally different way of working. He would say, I now go to all the different countries where company operates. And instead of having all these meetings and me walking in and saying, this is what has to happen, he said, I now would get an open room. I would have an open agenda. I would sit there and work, and people would wonder, what am I doing here? Still very nervous about presence there. And one by one, they started walking in and coming up with ideas and just running it past me. And all I did was coach.
Coaching.
So what does that mean? All I did was coach. All I did was ask, listen so that the other felt heard, ask them questions to actually explore further, with other words, become thinking partners and really become a thinking partner for them and allow them to actually think through everything it is that they had thought of and they hadn't thought yet of yet with the ideas they were bringing to me. And then we'd look at how we can operationalize it. And the only time he said that I would ask a closed-ended question as opposed to an open-ended question is, okay, are you ready to take on the responsibility for this? Yes or no? That was the only time when he wanted commitment. And they'd be so excited. They'd say, of course I want to.
Yeah.
So all he was a thinking partner.
I love that thinking partner. And you mentioned earlier, the leader has the hands and moving to being a thinking partner. And so I think as a leader, we often have to wear a coaching type hat, regardless of what kind of leader we are.
Yeah.
How do we know what hat we have to wear when we're in a leadership position? How do we know?
That's a very interesting question, Laura, because first of all, I want to say there's two types. I divide coaching up into two major categories, and that's informal coaching and formal coaching. So formal coaching is when you set up a schedule of time for a coaching conversation. Informal coaching is, I often say to my clients, you're at the coffee machine as the leader, you're making yourself a cup of coffee and somebody saunters up to you and says, boss, how do you think I should do this? Now, the chances are very good that they know, they've got ideas of how to do it, but they're too scared to actually just do that in case they do it wrong and then they get into trouble. But if boss man says, do it like this, if it then goes wrong, they can say, well, boss man said so.
Or boss woman.
I'm so right. Thank you for correcting me. Now as a leader, you can say, okay, that's an interesting idea. And all you do is ask questions whilst you're making your coffee. So what have you thought about this and how would that work? And you have a 2-minute conversation. If they say, what do you think, boss? You could say, well, what do you think?
Mm.
And that's a really good coaching question.
Yep.
They will have thought of something. And as you just become a thinking partner with them and you create a little quick thinking environment, they will walk away and think, wow, this was such a great conversation. Meanwhile, you hadn't given them any solutions. You were not in expert mode, which is the hardest thing for a leader, is to step out of expert mode. And, you know, we can talk about it later on. But yeah, okay, so when are you not a coach? So if you think of the tripod of work by Gillian Stamp, Gillian, G-I-L-L-I-A-N, and Stamp like the stamp that we used to have on letters, Gillian Stamp has a model called the tripod of work. It's really worthwhile to Google it. And the tripod of work has 3 cornerstones. It's tasking, trusting, and tending. So tasking is normally a leader. It's not a coaching. It's a task. Here's what you have to do. It's telling, with other words. Then leaders often, my leaders tell me, well, then I tell them what to do and I expect them to have done the job within the deadline and that the job's well done and that they've completed within the deadline. And what do I find? I find that actually the job wasn't done the way I wanted it and they haven't finished it and it's below standard. And you know what? From now onwards, I'm no longer going to delegate. I'm going to do the work myself because I'm the only one that knows how to do it. Or otherwise, I'm going to micromanage them. That is what I hope here for my leaders. There's a third corner that's missing, and that's called tending. Now, tending is like a gardener. You have the soil, which is really, and you have the plants. So as a gardener, you're not going to plant a plant, a little bean or a little seed, and say, seed, you now need to grow. In 30 days, you need to be a meter high. I'll see you then. And you go back 30 days later, and there's still nothing there. What did you, as a gardener, not do? You didn't tend.
Exactly.
So as a gardener, you first needed to prepare the soil up front. You plant the seed and then you need to water it from time to time. And that's what tending is about as a leader as well. So as a leader, the tending part, if you tend well, you can actually trust not only the person that's going to do the task, but you can trust that you were a leader that helped that person to think it through and grow. And how do you do that? You coach them through it. So you give them a new and challenging task and you say, I want you to look at this challenging task. It will help you to grow. Shall we talk through it before you start? And what you do is you actually coach them through it. So you future pace them through it. You listen to what they say. What ideas do they have? And what would happen if it derails? What can you do then? What could go wrong? What resources do you need? Which of those do you have already? Where can you get the others? What are the low-hanging fruit? So it's all about listening and questioning. And you could say, I haven't heard you talk about that aspect. So it's also listening for what's not being said.
Yeah, the what's not being said is just as important as what's being said.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's, wow, actually, I didn't think about that. Well, so now that, you know, now that we can think about that, what are your thoughts? So what are you helping that person to do? You're helping that person to future pace through what needs to happen. And by the end of that conversation, that person has a much better idea. You have a much better idea. You know that you can trust. And then you can say to them, well, how often does this, as a plant, does it need water? So you can say, how often would you like to have a follow-up conversation?
Yeah, I think that the tending piece is so important. And even just in relationship in general is you have to tend to those relationships, whether you're in a leadership position or a relationship. You can't just expect it to grow and flourish if you're not tending to it. So you talk a little bit about in your course. So you have a course that's offered through the GLI membership site, the Leadership Hub. And in that course, you talk about coaching states of mind in your Leader as Coach course. So how does a coaching state of mind help a leader be better at their role?
I smile as to asking that question, Laura, because when I went on very, very fantastic coaching, internationally accredited coaching training in 2005. And there I learned there were about 26 different ways of asking questions. And so me being a newbie at it, I actually would walk around my desk in my office and try and remember the 26 different ways of asking questions, you know, and my memory just somehow wouldn't play along. And then I realized something else, Laura. I realized that instead of trying to learn how to ask questions different ways, if you can actually just remember to step out of expert mode, to step out of assuming, because often we assume, and to step into what I call a state of know nothing. And what I mean by know nothing is we do not actually know what's going on in the internal theater of another's mind. We think that the reason why they're not performing might be for ABC. Meanwhile, if we were just curious, we would find out there's something totally different happening. So the two coaching states that I talk about is the state of know nothing, which doesn't mean to say we know nothing. It just means we are not assuming and we are not being in expert mode, because expert mode really gets in the way of being a leader as coach. And we step into a state of authentic curiosity, authentic, real curiosity. Laura, what is going on in your mind? Share with me, what are you thinking about? And well, nobody likes me. Nobody. And sometimes it's even nobody. Well, maybe not nobody, but so-and-so doesn't like me. They're always. Actually, no, I suppose it was just that one time, you know. So actually being curious and listening for what they're saying.
That
state of mind is so important, together with not making assumptions. Mm-hmm. And then the questions will come, the different ways of questioning. It will come if one steps into the right state of mind.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a difficult thing as a leader. And I think that's, you know, yes. We're talking about and hearing about coaching and leadership so much more now, but I think that's one of the challenges for leaders, is to step out of that expert role. You were put into a leadership position because you were really good at your job, or you knew the yes. business inside and out. You get handpicked to be a leader now. Someone says, yes. You know, you're going to be promoted because you're yes. Such a good subject matter expert at this X. And so then to shift it, as you're suggesting, into expert mode to state of know nothing is probably very challenging, right?
It's so hard. Yeah. I mean, my leaders will often, I'll say you have to ask open-ended questions, you know, and they'll say, and what they'll do is they'll wrap the solution or the answer that they just cannot resist.
Right.
They'll wrap it into question format. Do you not think that you should do it ABC?
Yeah.
And the poor person feels they have to say yes, because actually the leader's still telling them, but it's just masked in a question. So it's very hard for leaders. And I often say to my leaders, because very often in my coaching sessions, I just use one session to transfer coaching skills, when they either have problem children in their teams or they have people that they just want to help grow, etc. I just say to them, when you actually start coaching, it's going to feel so weird, because it's like, what did you have for breakfast, you know? people are going to be so weirded out by the fact that you've changed your style of communication. Yeah. And I just say to my leaders, when you start this new way and trying it and practicing it, just tell the people that you are coaching, just explain to them that you'd want to move into a more empowering way of interacting. Mm-hmm. And would they be okay if you actually start practicing this with them? And will they give you feedback at the end of how they experienced it? And don't try your most challenging person first. Try somebody a little bit easier and start like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And funny enough, when they come back the next time, they'll say to me, wow, it went better than I thought. And the feedback I got was that, you know, the other person found it so valuable, because even though I'm quite a newbie, they found it so much better than the previous ways of interacting. So
do you think there's any particular skills that leaders need to have to become coaches?
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's not only leaders. And again, Laura, you touched on something just now, which is so true. I mean, you know that I actually specialize with, we said it earlier on, the development of authentic leadership effectiveness. And the interesting thing about authentic leaders, they are beyond position, beyond context, beyond gender, beyond whatever. And so what I mean by that is, you, Laura, are a leader at home, not only at work. You're a leader at home. You are a leader, you know, by presence. Mm. That means for us as leaders, that we... it helps us with our children, with people around us, to have those skills in coaching, even though we don't officially have to say it's a coaching relationship. But for instance, listening
in a way that makes the other feel good. Do you think leaders are made and not born then? Or, you know, how we have that argument sometimes about
all the time. all the time. I have learned through my work over the many years that everyone can grow as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone might have a starting point and they might have a limit, but they can grow. And the two things that help leaders to grow and that one needs to test for when you start with leadership development is, it's called leader development readiness. And leader development readiness has two factors. The one is the cognitive ability to grow. And the other one that's for me even much more important is the psychological willingness to grow.
The psychological willingness, that's so important, because some people, like we said, get put into these leadership positions, but they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be a leader, but someone tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, you're really good at your job. Off you go. You're now supervisor, team leader. That psychological readiness is so important.
And also the opposite can happen. I worked with a team of an executive leadership team of 10, and they were, interestingly enough, a leadership team of really smart individuals with really toxic relationships.
Mm.
So they were very dysfunctional as a team. And out of the team, so nothing worked very well when we started. And I worked with each one individually, and then we put them together as a team. And the interesting thing is that there was one member in the team, the other said he had the God complex. Oh. He himself said to me, Tinica, please help my peers. They really need help.
Mm.
He says, if we were all soccer players, I would be playing for Manchester United, and they would be playing for the local little soccer club. Please help them.
Oh.
And he felt that he himself did not need to grow more, but please can we help his peers? Mm. So that's what we mean by, I call that inappropriate invulnerability. That thing of, mm-hmm. I don't need to grow, I've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a strength-based or appropriate vulnerability, which says, yes, I've already gotten as far as I have, but that doesn't mean to say there is more. There's right. more for me. I can grow further and I want to grow further.
Right, absolutely.
Appropriate vulnerability.
Appropriate vulnerability. That's a
or
great
strength-based vulnerability. That's that allows us to have a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. So how would coaching conversations be different than, say, your typical performance review?
Okay, so let's actually just finish the conversation about the skills we need. So we need the listening skills.
Mm.
How do you know sometimes that you've not been listened to? If you think about it, if you think of examples, and I won't sort of dawdle here, but we know when somebody's not listening to us. We know it in our body language, in the answers they give, etc. And we also know when we're being listened to, when we get that eye contact, the person's body language, they're asking questions for clarification, etc. The other thing that makes us feel like somebody's there with us, creating a thinking partnership, is what are the open-ended good questions. The questions that ignite the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is about bracketing. Now, bracketing is very interesting. It's a bit what I've touched on already. Bracket out your own worldview.
Hmm.
Because you see, what happens quite often when we listen and we ask a question, and when, you know, or when we listen, there's two voices we're listening to. It's, I'm listening to your voice, Laura, and I'm listening to that voice in my head that's actually being even louder than yours. Bracketing is about, it's about removing, bracketing out our own worldview so we can be fully available to understand the worldview of another's.
Mm-hmm.
Bracketing. That also helps with asking really good questions, that authentic curiosity.
Yeah, it's really hard to not bring ourselves and our own perspectives and experiences into our conversations with others. So what you're asking, you know, leaders to do is to bracket, to hold the knowing
yes.
outside the room, to hold expert mode outside the conversation. These are really hard things to do. So where would someone start if someone thought, you know what, I want to try this coaching thing on in my leadership?
So I think, you know, I always say that professional leaders, they're in those positions, as you said early on, Laura, because of their previous business or technical or job specific context, expertise and skills and stuff. But now as you move into a more senior position or executive position, you now have to deliver through others. And funny mm-hmm. enough, I always say that your initial skills, maybe you went to school, you went to, you know, tertiary education, you had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and now you're ready for that job. And now you get moved into a job where you've got to deliver to others. And it requires totally different skills, and they're hard skills. They're not soft skills. They're hard skills. So for every leader, it's really worthwhile to actually learn about how one can actually be a coach that actually you grow others. You mm-hmm. create exponential leadership and you grow others, and that becomes your main task. And you deliver through them.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver through them. So instead of you being the head and they're the hands, we've got a collective intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it also builds self-esteem in others. It builds leaders like yourself. It builds leaders that could be even better and that can come up with ideas that we wouldn't have even thought of. And often it means that a coaching course is so helpful. It's so hard to learn this on our own, because we know we don't know this way. We know a different way, which is being the expert. I mean, as you know, as you said earlier on, you know, on the GLI platform, there is, you know, Leader as Coach, a major course, which is very, very practical. So there's a bit of theory and then you go and apply and you reflect, because it's very important to reflect and right. grapple with things.
Yeah.
You know, so it's adult experiential learning. Mm-hmm. And then you also asked me about where would one need this, like performance review conversations. If someone, for instance, is a conflict avoider, and just because you're a leader doesn't mean to say you're not a conflict avoider. And a lot of people are conflict avoiders. So I had one client who said to me, I really struggle with hard performance review conversations when I've got to give, you know, do a performance review with somebody who's not performing. And he said, I struggle. And I said, so how do you then deal with it? He said to me, I wait till Friday afternoon just before people go home. I quickly give the bad news. And then I think I've recovered by Monday morning, you know.
Oh.
That's how he dealt with it. But that's not very helpful. So he learned through coaching conversations to turn a performance review conversation into a conversation that's beneficial for the coachee or for the team member.
Right. Because
that's what coaching conversations are about. The primary beneficiary is actually the one being coached.
Yes. Yes.
And through them being the primary beneficiary, they can then, the benefits then extend, you know, and ripple out.
And if so the right questions are being asked, that coaching beneficiary yes. can have quite impactful changes in a very short amount of time, even though earlier you were talking about like short, you know, very small changes or in a short period of time. But, you know, we talk in coaching about 2 millimeter changes, right? Just even yep. a 2 millimeter shift can have quite a large impact in different areas. So, yeah, I think it's important for, like you're saying, leaders to coach with the coachee in mind, not how it's going to make it easier for them.
Yeah, it's the coachee's got to be the focus, you know, to create a thinking environment for the coachee so they can grow in their, expand their thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one, so that's performance review conversations where you can make it a solution, a positive outcome, a solution, positive solution. Also, developing people through tasks. So that tripod of work that I spoke about, it's actually, you know, if you want to grow your people, give them challenging tasks, coach them through it, and then support them and trust them. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to make a mistake, that's is just part of the learning.
Yeah.
So that's another place where you can really, really use coaching. Crucial conversations. Sometimes you have to have a difficult conversation. It doesn't have to be only performance reviews, where performance is not happening or whatever, or where somebody looks troubled, where you can have a coaching conversation. And you can say, this is the need for the conversation, but what would we like the outcome to be? What would we like to walk away with? Well, let's see what is actually happening, and let's see then what the coachee thinks. What are the different ways that we can address it, and what would mm-hmm. we like to walk away with, and how would we operationalize it, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes just giving and receiving feedback, those are very much skills of coaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you see coaching growing within teams themselves? Like, do you see coaching happening teammate to teammate? And what do you see as the benefits to this?
Absolutely. If teams can actually, so often you have toxic teams have smart individuals with toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you as a team can actually you know, learn coaching skills where you can sit with each other and you can say, how are we going to actually row in the same boat and be there for the bigger part of the team? You know, how do we do that? Let's look at, you know, so if you look at Lencioni's, Patrick Lencioni's model of dysfunctional teams, mm-hmm. he says that often there's no trust in the team. And there's no trust that leads to an avoidance of conflict, as we spoke about early on, which further leads to a lack of commitment. And that lack of commitment then goes to lack of accountability. And finally, you don't achieve your results. Mm-hmm. If the leader can turn that around by saying, we've got to actually together work on the results, that means we've got to hold one another accountable. And not only should I hold you accountable, we all have to hold one another accountable for doing the work we need to do. And that means we've got to have clarity and closure. That means we've got to engage in conflict. But we can't actually do that unless we can trust each other. And that trust can be built through using coaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
And also now there's something called systemic team coaching, which is so powerful. And I don't know if we've got time to talk about that in our podcast today, because that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
So I've just spoken, and maybe another time we can talk about that. Today I'm talking
about... Yeah, we'll have to have you back.
Yeah, Laura, so I hope that's kind of answering, you know, some of the questions that you have asked.
Yeah, no, I think it's answered more, and you've given us even more things to think about. I guess the one sort of last question I'm thinking about is, what if a leader is wanting to enhance their leadership skill sets by using coaching, but their direct supervisor doesn't know anything about coaching? And so say they go and say, I want some professional development in how to be a leader as coach. How would they approach their supervisor to say, I want some training in being a coach?
Well, you know, if the supervisor doesn't know what a coach is, which, by the way, a lot of people don't know what it is, you want to, you can use different words. You can say, you know, to your supervisor, I would like to actually be able to help to grow people and to have better communication with people around me, positive, constructive, growing conversations. I want to actually really have empowering conversational skills that will help all of those around me and be thinking partners for them and help them to think for themselves. And I would like to go on a course. I mean, we call this kind of communication coaching, and I would like to go on a course to learn to do that. And, you know, you said to me just now that actually you just have 2 millimeter little, you know, ripple effects. I can tell you that in my clients, I had one, because I encourage my clients to actually measure their return on investment. Because coaches often say you can't measure it. Of course you can. Mm. You know, but you can't measure it. The client can.
Mm.
So I had a client who was sent to me because she was a little bit, she was a brusque leader. She used to rub people up the wrong way. She was really smart. But often when people are really smart people, they're not necessarily very tolerant and good leaders. And she came to me for authentic leadership development, which included the coach, leader's coach skills. And I can tell you, her team, from being the poorest performing team in the multinational telecommunication company, her team became the second best. And I think on what she invested, which was about 70,000, if I can just use that number without kind of going into what currency it was, she actually, I think they saved the company something like 30 million and then another 40 million.
Wow.
I mean, the return on investment in percentage has so many zeros. I still haven't worked it out. But the thing is, it's can be so exponential.
Yeah, I don't think people realize when we talk about coaching how you can get that return on investment in different aspects of the business and different lines of the business. Yeah, I agree.
So it's a good idea actually to ask leaders to actually measure the return on investment in the investment they've made on leaders coach skills. It's worthwhile for them to focus on that and say, here, if the results are much better, why is that?
Yeah.
What caused, you know?
Well, I think that's a great point. And I think if anybody is listening to this podcast and wanting to present a return on investment to their supervisor, you can certainly learn more through Tinica's course that's listed under the Leadership Hub at glimembers.com. Tinica, I just want to say thank you for joining us today. You've given us so many valuable nuggets around leader as coach. And if anybody is interested in learning more, again, you can take a course developed by Dr. Wolfers. She's also mentioned a few things today. Just I'll follow up with Jillian Stamp around the tripod of work, Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team book. If you've never read that book, that's sort of a pillar of leadership development readings out there. And then some systemic team coaching, which I think we need to probably have you back to have more of a conversation about, Tinica.
Any last... And my own book. Yeah.
And your own book.
Which can be authentic leadership effectiveness for individuals and teams, a coaching approach, which you can get from Amazon.
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to read more from and hear more from Tinica, authentic leadership effectiveness for individuals and teams, a coaching approach, which you can get through Amazon. Any last words of advice for anybody out there that might be listening, Tinica?
Well, I'm just hoping that a little seed landed somewhere, because I really so much believe in the power of coaching, and especially for the leader as coach. Mm-hmm. That can make such a huge, huge difference. It's exponential. And I'm hoping that a little seed's been planted here and there for somebody to look into this more closely, Laura.
I absolutely believe that.
And they can use it at home. They can use it with their children. Children don't like to be told. Help them to think. Remember when you were a child, when I was a child. But if you can help them to think things through, they appreciate that much more than being told.
Right.
If you have any teenagers at home.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's been so many great nuggets today, Tinica. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, if anybody wants more information about GLI or any of the podcasts, webinars, courses, books that we offer, please head on over to the glimembers.com website. You can become a member with us and receive free coaching, access to our courses, the webinars, additional podcasts. If you want to hear more with me and some of my other guests from leaders around the world, I invite you to come and check us out there. Thanks again, Tinica, and
thank you, Laura.
Again, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.